Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Pressured. Wolf right. Sack. He is sacked. It is Kyle Williams who brings him down at the 15-yard line.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Today, Murph will be joined by Bills quarterback Thad Lewis, Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, and from BuffaloBills.com, Chris Brown. That and your phone calls today on The John Murphy Show.
Brought to you by Northwest Savings Bank. It's time to make the switch to Northwest. Jan Smoke Shops, hitting you between the uprights, now open 24 hours. And by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York, the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills, reminds you, healthy changes everything.
This place is pandemonium!
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone, touchdown, the Otis, my man!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
That didn't take long, did it? It is Monday morning, it is 10 a.m., and we've got a ton of Bills news already today. Good morning, welcome, thanks for joining us. The Monday edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Every Monday, we're here 10 a.m. to 12 noon. We've got a repeat show coming up at 7 o'clock tonight with highlights from the morning, plus additional info from what goes on here at One Bills Drive, and then back to 7 to 9 p.m. For the rest of the week. Thanks for tuning in. A lot to talk about. You heard the news by now. Thaddeus Lewis is going to start at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills this Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. We want your thoughts on that, of course, and all the other Bills news coming up over this weekend as the Bills almost reset the season. When you think of the players coming back from injury and a chance that they'll get some of those injured players back in the defensive backfield in particular, when you think of the switch at quarterback necessitated by the injury to E.J. Manuel, it's almost like a restart to the season after 5 games. It's going to be an interesting week here at One Bills Drive and interesting next couple of weeks while they wait and see how long it takes E.J. Manuel to return. Your thoughts on today's news? Thad Lewis selected to be promoted from the practice squad and then elevated to the starting job this Sunday against Cincinnati. Ring us up. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. My thoughts? They didn't have a whole lot of good options, folks. Not a whole lot of good options. Certainly no great options for the Bills. I don't consider signing Josh Freeman a great option, although reports are they were interested in him and he elected to sign with Minnesota. Not a great option. Maybe the fact that he had just been on a team last week mitigates towards selecting him, but we're looking for a stopgap here. We're looking for a placeholder at quarterback until E.J. Manuel is healthy, whenever that is. A couple of weeks, according to Doug Marrone last week. And placeholder, I don't know that Josh Freeman fits the bill. I did not, you know, when I look at it, I mean, they had Pat White in here for a workout. They had Dennis Dixon in here over the weekend for a workout. I like Thad Lewis better than those two options. I got to say, he's been here since, the last preseason game, August 29th. He's been here. He's been in the meeting room with the quarterbacks. He's been on the field taking those mental reps. He's been in the coach's booth during games, watching the offense being called, watching the plays being sent down to E.J. Manuel. I think it might be the best of a slew of very bad options for the Bills at quarterback, and I'm interested to see how it plays out. We hope to have Thad Lewis in studio with us here this morning. They are currently in meetings. The Bills will hit the practice field around midday today, and sometime we hope he gets a short window to join us in studio to hear. We had him in here back in the last week of August after he was signed and talked a little bit about his career. I've been impressed with Thad Lewis's work ethic. I've been impressed with his approach to the game, how he really does lock into the game plan and how he pays attention during games up in the coach's booth and watches the plays being called in. He's sort of gone total immersion as far as trying to get himself into this Buffalo offense. So I like that much. The game against Detroit, we saw him came in the second quarter in relief of a very shaky Matt Leinart in the preseason game, the final preseason game back on August 29th. He obviously didn't get a chance to do a whole lot in that game, but Lewis made at least one big play, the deep throw downfield to Marcus Easley. It went 79 yards for a touchdown. I thought Lewis looked, in a very limited role. They didn't ask him to do much because they were just trying to get out of that game, but he looked okay. He was 7 of 16, 132 yards. The one big touchdown pass, he was sacked one time. I think there is enough in Thad Lewis's resume to make this probably the best of several choices, none of them very good choices, including the win against the Steelers, the number one defense in the league last year, or not the win, but the start against the Steelers, the number one defense in the league last year, when he looked capable, looked like he could play a little quarterback in the league, looked like a capable backup in that game. And I think that's what we're looking at here. You're looking at a Bills team that was down to its third option at quarterback when you talk about Jeff Toole. Nobody back in the first week of August thought Jeff Toole would be in position to start a regular season game. First week of August, nobody could, I'm talking about casual fans, didn't know who Jeff Toole was. There were newspaper columnists who didn't bother to write his name in their columns, you know, saying whatever his name is. And that's Jeff Toole. I mean, that's who Jeff Toole is. Struggled, I think it's fair to say he struggled against the Browns last Thursday night. And with that struggle in mind, and with Lewis's mobility and his resume, you know, more pass attempts than Jeff Toole in the NFL, more pass attempts than Pat White in the NFL, I think it's probably the best of several not very good options. But we want to hear from you. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. And let's get to some of your phone calls, see what you think about this. We'll start with Chris in California. Chris, welcome. You're on the show.
Hey, how you doing, John? It's Chris Johnson. My thing real quick is I'm hearing all of these quarterbacks that you guys are mentioning, but nobody's bringing up Vince Young. I think he'll be pretty good. The Bills look at him. And that's my one thing I had. Surprisingly, I'm nervous on the radio, but, yeah. That's pretty much it.
Okay. What made you think Vince Young would be a good option?
Because – I think he's been a proven winner in the NFL. We had him before in Buffalo, and it seems he didn't really get a shot. And I think, he can run the ball, and I just think he'll be really good in Buffalo.
Okay. Well, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Marty in Cheektowaga. Hi, Marty. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? I pretty much was going to say something similar to that. I was really impressed with Pat White in the preseason. He torched us. That guy was pretty fast, pretty quick. I think you should put him on a roster, even if you use him like in a slash position like they used to do Cordell Stewart. Also, I feel the same way about Vince Young. I think he has a proven record. He has a winning record. And for a backup, I think he would be pretty good as backup and doing the read option and stuff. I think he could give that guy another chance to resurrect his career. Bring him on in here and let's see what he can do. And I feel more comfortable with him and his winning record than anyone else.
All right, Marty, thanks. We should probably play the Doug Marrone sound here from this morning, because let's think of where we are here, folks. And this is what the coach has said. This is not me saying this. The coach Marrone this morning with Howard and Jeremy, and I listened to it on the radio a little bit after 8 o'clock, the coach said they're promoting Thad Lewis to start this week. They're going to sign another quarterback to the practice squad. Pat White's not eligible. Certainly Vince Young is not eligible. So let's keep it in the realm of reality here. Do you want to throw quarterback names against the wall for, I guess you can do that. I don't know that that's instructive today. But let's hear what Coach Doug Marrone said this morning when he was with Howard and Jeremy about 2 hours ago.
We have not officially signed a quarterback. No. What we're looking to do, though, is we're looking to bring Thaddeus Lewis up from our practice squad and put him in the mix and pretty much have him starting at quarterback for us this week.
Thaddeus Lewis.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, by the way, for giving me a holy moly. Okay, so let's talk about Thaddeus Lewis, Doug. Why did you guys decide that would be the way to go for this week?
Well, you know, when you look back at everything and how things were, you know, obviously we brought Kevin Cobb in here, and then Kevin was injured. And when Kevin was injured, and obviously EJ was out at that time, we looked and really, you know, did a thorough research on bringing in a veteran quarterback. There wasn't really a lot out there for us and what we wanted to do, and I think that's important. There are quarterbacks out there, obviously, but from where we wanted to go in a direction, there wasn't really anyone that we wanted to do. So we brought in Matt Leinart and we brought in Thaddeus. So they played the one game, and Thaddeus has been with us the whole time, knows the system now, and has been working and practicing with us and been traveling with us. So for the point where we are now, he gives us the best opportunity. He has experience. He has played in games. He knows the system. Not that, you know, Jeff, we're excited about. You know, he's still developing. I talked to him this morning. We had a situation where he played very well in the preseason. You know, we didn't want to put him on the practice squad and lose a good, young, developing quarterback. And that's where we are.
What about his, can you talk a little bit more about his physical attributes, whether it's his arm, his legs, or even his intangibles, knowledge of the playbook, how fast he can digest things. Tell our listeners a little bit more about sure. Thad Lewis.
Sure. Well, he obviously, you know, he's very bright. He's a very bright young man. You know, we threw him to the fire, you know, when he came in here for Detroit. That was really just 2 or 3 days, you know, of working on the offense. But now he's been here. He understands it completely. We got to put it to his strengths. He can run. Okay, so, you know, whether it's read option or scrambling or extending a play, you know, he has the ability to do that, and he has a great arm. He really does. So, you know, a lot of times with not just the quarterback position but other positions is you got to create opportunity. You got to create opportunity for people to see what they have, and they have to take advantage of it, and he has a great opportunity for himself.
The other guy I want to ask you about, our other position, was left guard. Mm-hmm. In camp, you had a competition there. Is it Colin Brown's job? Is Ligurski getting a shot here? Is he healthy enough to play? Can you kind of give us an update? Because Colin Brown sure. has had some struggles. Can you give us an update of your thought on that spot?
Sure. I have those two players. They're in a meeting right now. They're going to come and talk to me. I'm going to talk to them first before I comment on where we're going. And I hope that people can appreciate that. I'd rather make sure I speak with them first before yep. I say anything publicly.
At the end there, Doug Marrone opening up the possibility that Doug Ligurski might move ahead of Colin Brown on the depth chart at left guard. We'll follow up with that as the day moves along. The Bills, by the way, will be on the practice field at midday today around 11:30 in the morning. And we'll get a chance to hear from Doug Marrone with the rest of the media 1 o'clock, and then the locker room will be open. We'll get some reaction to all of this news today. But the big news, obviously, the quarterback news, with Thad Lewis getting the nod to be promoted from the practice squad, which will necessitate a move off the roster, obviously. He'll be promoted to the practice squad and will start this Sunday against Cincinnati. You know what struck me even before they announced that Thad Lewis would get the job today? How committed this team, Doug Marrone, Nate Hackett, how committed they are to the read option, to have a quarterback who is mobile and can run the ball. If you look at the quarterbacks he has talked about, and you look at the way even E.J. Manuel has played, the read option is a pretty important part, has been a pretty important part of their offense through the first 5 games. They like Thad Lewis because he can run the ball a little bit and has done that in the past. In college, in particular at Duke, he ran the ball pretty well. They are committed to the read option. They are committed to having that component of their offense, which is when I thought yesterday, like Pat White, Dennis Dixon, what are the pluses? Obviously, it's the fact that they're mobile and can run the ball. They can run the read option, just as EJ has been doing. Maybe even more so now with EJ hurt for a little while. Maybe they run even more out of the read option attack. All right, your thoughts on this, 803-0550, the number to call, or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Here is Aaron. You're on the air with us, Aaron. Hello.
Hey, John. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, you know, just to go through this quarterback situation, the whole thing with Jarius Bird, it just seems to keep trickling down once again from the top of the organization. You know,
what's trickling down? Aaron, what's trickling down?
It starts with Bird, and it seems like it's the same old thing. They can't get the guy signed. Now they can't get him on the field. Now we come to our quarterback situation. And for them to sit there and tell us that Thaddeus Lewis is the best option and the best chance to win on Sunday, just, I know I don't sit there and watch practice, John, and I know they're doing their job, and they're paid well and a lot of money to do it, but I don't understand that they said they didn't want to put Tool on the practice squad because they said somebody was going to pick him up. Well, if he's that good to get picked up, what is he doing? There's an article on the front page of the Buffalo News yesterday about putting fans in the stands. They're doing some renovation of the stadium. There's 7,500 tickets left for every game, 10,000 for the last two. No one's going to buy tickets for this team or continue to support it. And you know, when I have season tickets, I'll be there. But
Aaron, what's the best option? What's the best option at quarterback this week for the Bills?
I don't know, but there has to be somebody out there that's better than Thaddeus Lewis. Teams brought in Vinny Testaverde 4 or 5 years. So there's got to be a veteran with some experience that could come in, pick up an offense, and hand the ball off to the second-best running yardage-wise, not per carry, but yardage-wise running offense in the league. I just don't see how Thaddeus Lewis gives us the best chance to win on Sunday, especially over Jeff Tool. At least he's on the team every day. I understand. He's practicing that. It just doesn't make sense.
I think so, it makes a lot of sense, Aaron. And I'll tell you what, I Thad Lewis is in the meeting room every day with the quarterbacks.
I understand.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a better option. I really can't think of a better option. And I spent the whole weekend thinking about Pat White, Dennis Dixon, whatever. And when I think of Thad Lewis, who's been here and knows this offense after 4 weeks here, or a little more than 4 weeks, actually, I don't know. It's not a great option, but they're down to their third quarterback when they're talking about 5 weeks into the season. They're down to your third quarterback, a rookie with Jeff Toole. How does that fit in with Jarris Byrd and selling seats? I don't know. I mean, I think you kind of got a little bit off track there a little bit, Aaron. I don't know what they should have done. Who is ready? Whose third quarterback is ready to start an NFL game 5 weeks into his career? I don't know that anybody is ready to has that quarterback in their back pocket. You look at the list of quarterbacks who are out there, the free agent quarterbacks who are out there. There's nobody, really. And they looked at him, and they brought in a couple over the weekend and worked him out and decided that the guy they had in-house is the best option they have. Again, no great options here. They were not in a good spot. But I think Thad Lewis might be one of the best options they could have this week anyway, and we'll see how it plays out. James in Florida. You're on the air. James, hello.
How you doing, Jeff?
Okay.
I definitely agree with you. I think that at least after Thursday night game, Jeff Toole is like a deer in the headlights. That they had to do something, but I'm glad that they went with Thad Lewis, because you go with Pat White, he's unproven, and at least the guy, Thad Lewis, knows the offense. I mean, that's half the battle. How are you going to put a guy in Sunday that doesn't know, a couple of days of practice, trying to learn a system? So, and I think with getting Gilmore back, I don't know if Bird's going to play, but I think as long as we play good defense, run the ball, and, make a couple of plays here and there, you always got a shot.
Yeah, I think you're right. The best of, not great options, really. And a guy who's been here and he came in, August 29th was Thursday, August 26th. So he's been here 5 weeks or so and been in the meeting room and been on the practice field and not getting many reps, nor Toole hardly got any reps last week, I would think, going into a short week Thursday game against Cleveland. But the best of options that were not great. Marty, you're on the air with us. Hi, Marty. Hello.
Hey, John. I just got a question about the Cole quarterback search also. Everybody keeps talking about, we want a read option guy. Cobb wasn't a read option guy, and he was our starter until Manuel kind of showed that he outplayed him a little bit in the preseason, which is debatable whether he did or not. But then all of a sudden we got to look for these guys, these retreads that never did anything in the NFL prior to haven't done anything. But then all of a sudden we want this read option quarterback that prior to last year when Kaepernick and Russell Wilson started doing it, no one was succeeding with it. It just wasn't a threat. Mm-hmm. And now it's like we're going to pass up on possibly getting a good pocket quarterback. See, I would rather go – I like for our backup maybe somebody that isn't a read option guy, because if you're going to have another read option guy, you might as well have – four of them or five of them, because they're just getting hurt.
Names, though.
I was wondering if you heard anything about Kellen Moore, Boise State's quarterback, went to Detroit, been sitting behind Stafford. I'd like to see a quarterback that won in college that has tons of records that just hasn't had a chance in the pros. Why don't we try to do something like that instead of a mediocre, at best, retread NFL quarterback that could possibly run and get himself hurt? I don't get it.
I wouldn't call Thad Lewis a retread. He has a ton of tread on the tires. He's barely played. He's played in one NFL game. But I need names. I need names, Marty, and you're gone now. But I don't know who the pocket passer out there who would fit the bill for what these guys want to do in a short-term situation. I don't know who that is. I've looked at the free agent quarterback list. I don't see any names out there that I would jump at. And they're comfortable with Thad Lewis. They like what they've seen of him, at least in the limited exposures they've had. And they like the fact that he's been around the program for 4 or 5 weeks. Gordon in Buffalo. You're on the air, Gordon.
Good morning, John. Nice to talk with you. I heard you say earlier you don't want to throw quarterbacks against the wall, so I will not do that. But what concerns me, I get the feeling of this, and you might even, I don't know if you can, you've ever talked to anybody who feels the same way. You've got a lot of people you talk to. I think the coaching staff, including the head coach and the offensive coaching staffs, I get the impression sometimes that they're full of themselves, and, they feel they can do this with the rookie quarterback Emmanuel, with a free agent in Toole, with a Thad Lewis, okay? I know they went the veteran route in Cobb, and Leinart, and it didn't work out. But I believe that these guys feel that they can do that. You're talking this morning, Thad Lewis is your best option. I could hear that because he's been around. But when is the coaching staff going to say, well, maybe we had to get a guy with a little bit more experience than starting one game? You know what I'm saying? I know what you're saying. They feel that they can win. It's what they want. It's what they can win. I don't know if they're even open to a veteran quarterback.
Here's the thing, Gordon. They think of this, the EJ injury, as short term. You know, and I think that's important. Okay. They don't want to go back to the drawing board on this offense. They think this is a short-term thing. I mean, it could be, what, 2, 3, 4, maybe longer weeks, but they don't want to redo this offense, and I don't blame them for that. Number two, they think that this offense is about running the football, and whoever it is, pocket passer, Thad Lewis, Pat White, is going to spend a lot of his time handing the ball off to C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. That's what they want to do. I think they don't want to go back to the drawing board and redo an entire offense to suit a quarterback who's only going to be here for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks.
John, I understand that, but my question to you now is that what do you think that opposing defenses are going to do to us? They're going to try to stop Fred Jackson and C.J.
Sure.
Spiller.
Yeah, well, that's what they have been doing.
And they're going to force... You're going to force a young quarterback, and we all saw what happened to Jeff Toole, and I'm not blaming him for the debacle because there's 52 or 53 other guys on the team besides him. I just feel that a veteran of some stature, I don't know, maybe it will just make the fans feel better. Maybe me feel better. I just feel, you know, that these guys are so full of themselves, you know, that we're going to win – like this. I don't even know if they're open to a veteran guy.
Yeah,
they were with Cobb, but yeah. I understand that. I didn't like Cobb pickup anyway.
I mean,
there were other guys out there.
Cobb was an insurance policy, and keep in mind, Cobb was signed before they drafted EJ. Cobb was signed before EJ looked pretty good in the OTAs and minicamps and training camp. You know, Cobb was signed. He was an insurance policy all along. If they couldn't get a you know, there was no guarantee they were going to get EJ Manuel. They maneuvered their way around to get him in the middle of the first round. But there was no guarantee they were going to get him or another quarterback that they felt comfortable going to war with this fall. So that's why Cobb was here. Cobb gets hurt on a fluky play in preseason game number 3. The Bills would be in pretty good shape, as a matter of fact, if Kevin Cobb was not hurt. You know, and I know that almost goes without saying, but they'd have a guy stepping in and to run the offense and hand the ball off to a good stable of running backs, a guy who's played a lot in the NFL. That option was lost in the Redskins game when Cobb got hurt. And the other thing you mentioned about, I think you're talking about coach's ego. I don't think that's at play here. I really don't. I think they're trying to make the best of a short-term bad situation. Short-term being the key here. They don't want to redo their offense. They don't want to go back to the drawing board in the middle of the season and reconfigure their offense to suit a quarterback who would only be here for a couple of weeks at most, maybe, or would only be playing for a couple of weeks. Maybe, you know, at the longest, 6 or 8 weeks. They don't want to do that. I don't blame them for doing that. I don't think that's ego. I think that's trying to think through the options and being smart about it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. It is the Monday morning edition of the John Murphy Show. We're here until 12 noon today. We're live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It is the Monday morning edition of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Thanks for tuning in. We're here every Monday, usually the Monday after a game from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then back again 7 o'clock tonight for a recap of the day and some of the highlights of the earlier show. Hey, Bills fans, this Friday is a big day at Niagara Falls. It's the 8th annual Believe event. This Friday, you can join Bills players and their families in Niagara Falls, New York, for the Believe event. You can help them, the Bills and ECMC, in the battle against breast cancer. They'll have the living ribbon on the bridge, right across the Rainbow Bridge. They'll have a concert, fireworks, everything. Bills players, their families. Go to buffalobills.com/believe for more details. The 8th annual Believe event this Friday night in Niagara Falls. buffalobills.com/believe for more details. We're going to talk more about the Bills quarterback situation and any other Bills news you'd like to. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. But we're going to run down what went on yesterday in the NFL, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Dunn Tire and Kumho Tires, the official tire of the Buffalo Bills, giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. You can get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap when you buy 4 Kumho brand tires. Visit DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. Yesterday in the NFL, a wild game in Arlington, Texas, the Broncos and the Cowboys. Matt Prater hit a 28-yard field goal as time expired. Denver overcame the first 500-yard passing game in Dallas history, and the Broncos stay unbeaten with a 51-48 win over the Dallas Cowboys. Manning maintained his record pace of touchdown passes, finished with 4 touchdown passes, 414 yards. Tony Romo threw for 5 touchdowns, 506 yards. Peyton Manning says... was asked about if shootouts like that are fun or nerve-wracking and how he felt about that game.
Combination of both. It's hard to enjoy a touchdown drive when you feel like you know, their offense is hot and you really are going to have to go out there and do it again. So we stayed focused on the sideline, and everybody was pretty determined to go out there and make some plays and, you know, keep moving the ball down the field. We talked about last night, you know, being able to handle being in a storm. We were kind of in a storm early, 14-0 on the road. That place was rocking, and thought we did a good job kind of digging ourselves out. Decker had a huge play to get our touchdown drive on that series, and made another great touchdown catch. So thought our guys stayed pretty poised considering the start of the game.
Peyton Manning, who combined with Tony Romo, the Broncos and the Cowboys combined for 1,039 yards, a wild game. The Colts, Andrew Luck, 2 touchdown passes. Donald Brown scored the go-ahead touchdown with 9 minutes to play, and the Colts beat Seattle 34-28. First loss for Seattle. They are 4-1. The Colts go to 4-1. The Saints beat the Bears 26-18. Drew Brees threw 2 touchdown passes to Pierre Thomas, and Jimmy Graham had another 100-yard game. The Bengals shut down the Patriots 13-6. A 1-yard touchdown run by Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in the fourth quarter. The game's only touchdown. Great defense for Cincinnati in that game. And Tom Brady blames it on poor execution on the part of the Patriots offense.
It wasn't our best day execution today. I thought we certainly had some opportunities there in the first half that we didn't take advantage of. We just had too many times where we, you know, one negative play and really took us out of field position. So it just wasn't very good execution. And hopefully, you know, it's a very good defense. I give them a lot of credit. You know, they put a lot of pressure in a lot of areas. So our execution needed to be really good, and it just wasn't.
Noise up front, was that an issue throughout the game, communication as far as calls?
Yeah, it's always something that we're trying to handle on the road. So they, you know, they do a pretty good job of, you know, disguising blitzes and so forth. And they got us a few times today. Certainly, you know, they're in the second half in the fourth quarter. But we had plenty of opportunity and chances in the red area to get in. You know, we just, it was just a poor performance.
Brady got sacked 4 times in that game, the Patriots' first loss of the year. The Chiefs beat Tennessee 26-17. Kansas City still perfect, 5-0. Ryan Fitzpatrick got the start for Tennessee. He missed his first 5 passes, went 3 and out on his first 5 series. The Packers beat the Lions 22-9. It was the Eagles over the Giants 36-21. The Giants are unbelievably bad. They're 0-5 this year. And the Cardinals beat the Panthers 22-6, big win for Arizona. The Rams beat the Jaguars 34-20. Jacksonville is 0-5. Some of the highlights from the NFL day yesterday, part of our Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Let's get back to your phone calls, and let's go to Mark in Amherst. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The biggest thing I've heard, especially the last caller, and I've heard this by a few people now, is that the Bills have this ego that they're – for some reason thinking they can win with Thaddeus Lewis and they're not going to pursue any other options. To me, I see it as EJ was there. It's good to have EJ. It's good to develop EJ, but he wasn't putting up jaw-dropping numbers. He was putting out, you know, he's pretty much in there as a game manager. And if that Lewis can come in and for 2 to 3 weeks, I know there are people that are speculating 4 to 6 weeks, but that hasn't been confirmed. If Thaddeus can come in and play like the way he did against the Steelers last season, 22 for 30, decent numbers, manage the game, pretty much do what EJ was doing. I don't see any reason why the Bills can't come out and win 2 out of these next 3 games.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're a little farther ahead than I am on that, but I don't want to discount that, Mark. I mean, it's a tough stretch coming up, by the way. Cincinnati, I watched them yesterday, played pretty well defensively yesterday, and then back-to-back road games at Miami, at New Orleans, and Kansas City's 5-0. There's some tough games coming up. This is almost – we're pretty much into the meat of the schedule right now for the Bills. That put aside, and that, I don't want to look that far ahead just yet. I don't think it's ego. I think it's Thad Lewis is the best option of an array of not very good options for this team after they go through the first three quarterbacks. The first two hurt. Third quarterback played on Thursday night, did not look good. I don't think there's a whole lot of good options. I don't think it's coaching ego getting in the way. And I think I would consider, I don't know if I would call EJ Manuel a game manager. I do think he makes plays. He's a playmaker. He makes some bad plays too. And, you know, it's been a little careless with the football. That would be my biggest complaint through five games on EJ Manuel, the fumbles and some of the carelessness with the football. But I do think we've seen pretty fairly steady improvement from EJ. And I've liked what I've seen from EJ Manuel. I've liked his competitiveness, I guess, for lack of a better term. The way he bounced back in some of these games and stayed with it. I like that about E.J. Manuel. I think he's a little bit more than a game manager. Randy in Buffalo. Hi, Randy. You're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I think this read option is just another college scheme. And if it really was legitimate, I think Bill Belichick would have already used it. So, and the NFL defenses just eat up college schemes, and that's going to be proven in the next couple of years.
Well, let's see what Bill Belichick does when the Hall of Famer retires at quarterback. He might have to do read option. I'm not saying, and no one is talking about building your whole offense around read option. Nobody's talking about that. It's a component of this Buffalo offense. It's the component of, you know, I would think about 10 to 12 offenses in the NFL right now, some more than others.
Yeah.
And if the Bills had a pocket passer like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, they wouldn't run read option. They wouldn't have to. No one would.
I agree, but I just think we're all going to see it. It's just going to fail in the end. And then one other thing real quick, I just don't understand why everybody's against Tim Tebow. I think he's a proven winner, and if any team needs divine intervention right now, I think it's the Buffalo Bills.
Ridiculous. I hope you're kidding. If you've seen Tim Tebow play recently for the Jets last year, preseason this year, you would understand that that is not a viable option. I don't think it is. Let's go to a Joel in Cheektowaga. Hi, Joel. You're on the air.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, John, my comment basically is these people are calling in, and it's kind of nice that I came in on top of that last caller. People got to remember for the last 13 seasons what we as Bills fans have had to put up with. And I'm not going to say I'm a rah-rah guy for anybody in particular, but I feel that the coaching staff, Coach Marone, Hackett and them, I think they're intelligent people. They were put in those positions because of their intelligence and their new way of thinking, you know, with the modern football that's out there. And I can understand totally why they went with Thad Lewis. I thought he showed a glimmer of hope in that one preseason game. Like you say, he had that long pass to Easley. And, we got to remember, we got E.J. Manuel coming back at some point this season. It's not like we're going to be going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick or Trent Edwards or any of our other rehashed quarterbacks. And Tim Tebow, I agree. I mean, you know, he had his glimmer of hope. He's a done deal. I wish these people would wake up and realize that.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. We're going to take a break, come back to more phone calls. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live at One Bills Drive this Monday morning. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here until noon today, Chris Brown's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. Talk about the news of the day. Thad Lewis named the starter on Sunday against Cincinnati, and maybe some other changes coming as well. In the meantime, we'll take your phone calls, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Sal in Blaisdell. Hello, Sal. You're on the air.
I got a question for you. What do you think if Thaddeus comes out next 4 to 6 weeks and plays exceptional? What do you think will happen then?
I think E.J. Manuel will get the job back again. What do you think will happen?
I'm that impressed with E.J., and I was just wondering what you thought on
No, I think I think they're all in with E.J. Manuel. I think he would play when he's healthy. I think he'll play. And I hope Thad Lewis comes on and has tremendous success and plays as well as he can. But I think they're all in with E.J. Manuel. They've invested a first-round draft pick on him. They've invested some money in him. They've invested a lot of time in E.J. Manuel. I don't think they're ready to walk away from that. Pat in Pennsylvania. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi, first-time caller calling in about the quarterback situation here. I had a couple comments to make. Number one,
I wouldn't want to be in this guy's shoe coming in Sunday because I think Cincinnati's going to put them all up in the box and they're just going to come right after them. And
yeah.
If you looked at most of our passes this year, they've been averaging 15 to 20 yards and then maybe run with the ball. But I just don't get why they can't bring a guy in like Tebow who's, I mean, I know
because he's no good.
Not an NFL player. Because
he can't play.
But he's a winner.
You
and
can't
anybody
play.
Could run that offense.
Not a winner in the NFL. Can't play. Can't play. That's why they're not going to bring him in. Can't play, can't win in the NFL with him. Dave in Williamsville. Hi, Dave.
I think this is a funny league. You can look at San Francisco, who beat up Houston yesterday, but they were destroyed a couple weeks ago against Indianapolis. And then you could talk about a secondary that was embarrassed against the Jets. You could say them are a strong thing to say, but I think they were kind of embarrassing at the Jets. The next week, we get five interceptions against the most valuable player of the Super Bowl. You never know what's going to happen
right.
In these situations. And I'm not willing to run off anything, whether it's Kansas City or New Orleans or next week. And I do respect Cincinnati's defense. I think they have a good one. But I do think we have one of the better sets of running backs in the league. And I think we can do, you know, if we have a good game plan, you know, we can, I'm not going to say we're going to lose or win, but I think we can do a better job than what people are assuming. And I just wanted to throw that out. If you're looking at this through rose-colored glasses, I've done it before, and I'm probably going to continue to do it. But that's what I see.
Yeah. Well, Dave, there's a difference, I think, thanks for your call, between looking at it through rose-colored glasses and looking at the way the league is. And you're right about the uncertain nature of the league, and, you know, anybody can beat anybody. I've watched the Bengals' last two games. I watched them play horribly on offense against Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they just couldn't get anything done. Dalton was terrible. And then I watched them yesterday. I watched the second half yesterday anyway. And Dalton wasn't a whole lot better, and their offense was not a whole lot better, but their defense was better. And their defense shut down Tom Brady and the Patriots, and they got an assist from a torrential downpour late in the game when Brady was trying to move him downfield to tie it up. So the Bengals are playing really good defense. There's no question about that. But this is not an insurmountable opponent. This is an opponent that's going to be tough and plays good defense and no question is going to be loaded up to stop the Bills' running game. They should be, as a matter of fact, loaded up to stop the Bills' running game. But I wouldn't write anything off at this point. Here is Russ in Lancaster. Hi, Russ. You're on the air.
Hi, Murph. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm glad that they got Marvin back. The fans loved him here. Smart guy. On court on the radio, I heard he's grateful to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to hang up and hear your comment on that.
Yeah, I'm glad they got Brian Moorman back, too. One of my, you know, favorite players in recent memory. I think a very effective punter. I'm not quite sure how it went down in training camp with the Steelers this year. And, you know, kind of followed from afar last year when he was with Dallas. But I think he's reliable. I think, you know, they've got issues on punt team that they've got to clean up, including the kicks and figuring out the direction of the kicks and making sure everybody's on the same page when it comes to directional kicking. I think it wasn't just Sean Powell, but they needed more reliability in terms of hang time, I think, with Sean Powell, and they weren't getting the kind of hang time that they needed. And, you know, you give up, you know, a 56-yarder and a 79-yarder in one game, you obviously are going to take a look at the operation, and that's what they've done. In Brian Moorman, they have a steady hand, a guy who's kicked here for most of his career, 12 years here, a guy who understands the winds of Orchard Park and understands how to kick in bad conditions here in Orchard Park, and a guy who gets it, I think, a guy who gets what they're looking for him to do. So, yeah, I'm encouraged by that signing. I look forward to saying hello to Brian a little bit later on this afternoon. Steve in Rochester. Steve, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
John, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, one of the concerns I have is going forward is are they going to get away from the no huddle now? Because I really think the no huddle thrives on converting third downs. And this team, now you got a new quarterback coming in. It's going to be tough. This defense is playing, the front seven is playing, I would say, pretty commendable right now. I really don't want to see him put that kind of pressure on him to keep going three and out, because that's the only thing I really see that is just going to kill this defense. So I guess that's my question. Do you think they're going to get away from the no huddle?
You know, I think in the last two games they have slowed down the no huddle, but I don't know if they'll ever get away from it totally. But it's clear that in the last couple of games, in the loss at Cleveland and the win over the Ravens, they had slowed things down a little bit. for whatever reason. I think they acknowledged that they weren't making third downs at the conversion rate they needed to keep their defense off the field. They were not huddling for the most part, but there were a lot of soft huddles or sugar-type huddles, I think, in the last couple of games. Will they abandon no huddle altogether? I don't see that. But I do think they may keep a slower pace no huddle moving forward, especially, and not that Thad Lewis can't handle it. And I don't think the way this no huddle offense is constructed, I don't think it's real complex. I think it's fairly simple, actually, and I think EJ has handled it pretty well. But I would be surprised if they totally scrapped the no huddle and went to something else. I think they'll probably maintain what they have been doing the last couple of weeks with kind of a slower paced no huddle attack. All right, coming up in the next hour, Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com is going to join us. He'll be in studio with us to talk about today's news of the day, and you can phone in your comments and questions for Chris. We'll get his perspective. Hope to have Thaddeus Lewis in studio with us. He is in meetings right now, and we're going to try to catch him in the small window they have between meetings and practice. I believe practice starts at 11:30, maybe 1 o'clock or noon. And I don't know. That might not happen now. Think of it, because he's got to squeeze in some lunchtime and some downtime. But if we can get him, we'll get him in here to join us in the studio today in the next hour or so. We're going to talk with Sam Monson next hour as well from Pro Football Focus. He wrote a piece about Kiko Alonso and his game against the Cleveland Browns that's up on Pro Football Focus. All of that next hour, plus your phone calls. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Buffalo ball! Kiko Alonso picks up the tip pass for the interception.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Brought to you by Northwest Savings Bank. It's time to make the switch to Northwest. Jan Smoke Shops, hitting you between the uprights, now open 24 hours. And by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York, the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills, reminds you, healthy changes everything.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour 2 of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Mondays, we're here 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then another version of the show coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Back to nighttime radio the rest of the week, including podcasts on Tuesday and Thursday, live shows Wednesday and Friday. Need a program to follow this show lately. In the studio with us, the lead journalist from BuffaloBills.com, our buddy Chris Brown. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Good morning.
Good morning. And the phone line's open if you have comments or questions for myself or Chris. 803-0550. The number, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Well, you and I start the dialogue as soon as I walked in this morning a couple of hours ago. Thad Lewis, the more I think about it, the best of an array of not great options for this team. I don't know what else I like better.
Well, I mean, I remember listening to Doug Marrone last Friday, you know, on the heels of the Thursday night game, and he gave pretty clear indication that they were going to look for other options besides Jeff Toole to start this next game against Cincinnati, and that they'd be looking outside the organization. And I'm saying to myself, wow, they're going to bring somebody in and try to get them ready to play a game. I know they have an extra practice today, and that's a benefit and a help, but holy cow.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, they're going to do this right away. It's going to be Saturday, they're going to have a quarterback, and they're going to be tutoring him all weekend. Because I'm thinking you got to.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder if some of the decision-making by some of the free agent quarterbacks that were out there impacted this decision to go with Thad Lewis. Because I'm thinking if they saw a guy out there that they liked and they could get him signed by Saturday, it might have been that guy instead of Thad Lewis. But perhaps things didn't pan out in free agency.
So you're talking Josh Freeman.
For lack of a better...
is there another guy?
No. No, probably not. And, you know, Josh Freeman didn't want to make a decision right away.
Right.
And so because of that, I think they go the route of Thad Lewis, a guy that knows the offense, is ready to play, and quite frankly, I'm kind of more comfortable with a guy that knows the system than somebody coming in cold to try to run half an offense reduced package against what is a very good Cincinnati defense.
I don't know how I felt about Josh Freeman. I wasn't crazy about the idea, but you always would prefer to have someone who's played recently, and he fits the bill there. But once that option was removed about, 10:30 or 11 last night, and I got thinking Pat White, Dennis Dixon, I like Thad Lewis better than those two options.
I will say this. I like his arm. I mean, I think his arm is pretty underrated, quite frankly. Now, he's a little bit shorter guy, but just in seeing him throw the football around here, he's got an arm. I mean, he can deliver the football anywhere you need to put it on the field. The question is, yeah, he knows the offense, but does he know it in a way where he can execute and make the right decisions in the snap of a finger, down in and down out, knowing the kind of pressure that this Cincinnati defense can generate? That's something that remains to be seen. But, you know, I get it if fans are kind of upset with the turn of events that have happened here. I understand injuries have seemed to be a perennial problem, and they happen at the worst possible positions for the Bills this season, Stephon Gilmore being number one, now EJ. But really, there are no good answers. I mean, week six of the season, there are no good answers. And Doug Marrone even said, you know, on air this morning that when EJ got hurt in the preseason and Kevin Cobb was still hurt, they sought out veteran options at quarterback in August and decided they had no viable options. And so that's when they brought in Leinart and Lewis. So you didn't have any good options in August. To think you were going to have better ones in week six, I think, is almost foolhardy.
One thing that struck me last night, Chris, when I was thinking this over, when you're talking Dennis Dixon or Pat White or today Thad Lewis, it shows that there is a level of commitment to having read option runs by the quarterback as not the predominant component, but an important component of what they want to do offensively.
Yeah, and fans are tweeting at me, and I'm sure they're calling you, saying, what the heck happened to Jeff Toole? I mean, why is he a backup, and how does he get leapfrogged by a practice squad guy? I think one of the main reasons is athleticism. It's clear, based on the people they worked out, and by the guy they promoted, that they want athleticism at the position, or at least someone with a similar physical skill set to that of EJ. And I think it's due in part in an effort to keep the progress they're trying to make on offense consistent, so when EJ comes back, it's not a dramatic change for the rest of the offense. I think this is a move made as much to keep the path that they're on the same for the other 10 guys on the field as it is for anybody else.
The question was raised, and you mentioned how Lewis leapfrogged Jeff Toole, and why was Toole ahead of him in the first place? I'm fairly certain Toole would have been picked up by somebody as a third developmental quarterback on their active roster had the Bills released him back at the end of August, right? Or first
right,
week
and Marrone
September.
Indicated as much this morning. He said, look, he comes to the end of the preseason. He's one of the top five rated quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, granted, he's playing against second and third stringers, but he performed admirably, and it got to a point where they were no longer going to be able to stash him on their practice squad and develop him there for fear that they would lose him to another club, signing him off their practice squad and putting him on their active roster. So once that option went out the window, they then had to take Thad Lewis and say, look, this guy's only been here 3 days. He's not big on the radar because he barely got any time in Detroit. He has practice squad eligibility. Let's put him there instead, and we'll see where everything goes over the course of the next few weeks. And then I think, you know, we're talking about the athleticism and wanting that at quarterback. I think we saw on Thursday night when Jeff Toole stepped in, you know, this is a guy who, if he doesn't know where to go with the football, you know, he's the play's over. And that's not the case with Thad.
We're talking with Chris Brown, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. It's live radio from One Bills Drive, and it is so live that we have in studio right now the guy that we've just been talking about, Thad Lewis. Were your ears burning? Did you tell we were talking about you?
No.
Can you tell all of Western New York is talking about you right now?
I have no clue. I'm not on social media or anything. I didn't know it was public yet until I just checked my phone. I got like 66 messages.
Well, Thad, what about this? How much of a shock was it to you that Coach made that announcement today? And how did you learn about it in the first place?
This morning. Didn't know much. In a meeting this morning. Didn't know much going into it. But, I mean, when you're a backup quarterback in this league, you have to be ready for whatever. So every weekend and week out, I've been preparing with Toole and EJ as if I was the starter. Pretty much I had to catch up because they was here in camp, but just doing the little things to make sure I knew what was going on. You know, basically if I had this opportunity to contribute, I could be ready.
Did the thought occur to you over the weekend when there was talk about these other quarterbacks the Bills may have been talking to you? Were you sitting there going, hey, I'm here, what about me?
Nah, you know, once you learn in this league, you can't worry about things you can't control. And You know, if they were to bring another quarterback in, that was a decision they would have made. And so you have to live with, you know, whatever happens. So once you worry about yourself and worry about what you can control, you'll be all right. And that's how I kind of went about it.
They say practice makes perfect, or some people might even say practice makes permanent. You have the benefit of an extra practice today. How big is that in a week where you're going to be stepping on the field on Sunday?
It's great, you know, to just get behind center with the guys, with the first group, and do a walkthrough and just, you know, get some of the mechanics and things down since we're no huddle, you know, just to get into the floor of things. And, you know, it's always great to have that extra day. You know, you can get a jump on them. But it's something we've been doing, you know, even when we was preparing for New England. You know, it's something I've been doing since week one. So,
what about that tempo, though? Because you know the offense right off paper, but now you've got to execute it at a high rate of speed, and the decisions have to be made in the snap of a finger, as I'm right sure you well know, against what's going to be a pretty good defensive front on Sunday. I mean, is that just we'll have to see when we get there kind of thing? Or?
No, you know, that's what you have practice for. You know, you're going to go out there, they're going to give you the looks quick, they're going to give you the play call quick, but that's when you have ample amount of time to snap the football. So you're going fast, but you're not going as fast as people think.
Okay.
You know, so you have time to think and see what's going on out there.
We're live with quarterback Thad Lewis, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Chris Brown in studio with us. Thad, you've been, by my count, you've been here about 6 weeks now, going on seven weeks with the Bills. Yeah. Tell the people listening, the fans, what those weeks have been like for you. What have you been doing during this time, as far as, you know, the practice time and meeting time?
It's been great. You know, once in practice, you know, you're in there studying like you're the quarterback. You know, in meetings and things like that. But when you're on the field in practice, you're making sure you get the defense a good job, giving them great looks against all the teams we played against. But you're still that quarterback working on your craft. Even though you're not getting the physical reps with the one offense and running the plays, you're getting the mental reps. So you're getting reps every day, but now you get a chance to do both now.
And in the meeting room, it had been EJ and Jeff and you in the meeting room with Nathaniel Hackett.
Right.
How was that experience over the last six, 7 weeks?
It's great. You know, just to see the young guy develop and to help him out and to be his eyes. You know, that sometimes he don't see things. Sometimes we see things, and just to communicate and things like that. And so, you know, when we're in the room, I'm pretty sure the guys do the same for me. You know, it's a close-knit room, and we all competitors and want to see the room do good. So, we know, whoever's starting, we're going to root each other on.
And on game days, sometimes the practice squad guys will have a suite of their own. I don't know if you can be on the field, but you spent, I think, some, if not all of your game days in the coach's booth upstairs,
right?
All of them?
All of them.
Yeah, what goes on in there, and how has that benefited you the last
season? It's benefited me a lot, you know, just helping the coaches out, you know, with seeing what coverages that the guys were presenting to us, and helping Coach Hackett, you know, out to let them know what coverages they're showing us on first, second, third down, and things like that. So just seeing it from above, from a bird's eye view, helps you out. You know, once you get on the field, you know, hopefully you can know what, you know, the guy's going to present it and show you.
And this isn't the first time you've jumped from the practice squad into the starting lineup either. You did this last year. So might the practice squad be the best place for you to be to get on the field?
It might be. But
was it the same kind of circumstance last year?
The same circumstances. Whedon got hurt, and unfortunately Colt went in and got hurt too. So I got the call. It was a little different, like, get ready, you know, you're going to be active. I was like, okay, cool. 10 minutes later, it was like, you're starting. So I come in this morning, you know, I sit in the team meeting room, and Jeff comes in and say, you know, Coach, I want to talk to you. So I go upstairs, and Coach is like, you know, we're going to start you. And I was just like, okay. You know, it's something you wasn't expecting, but something you're ready for no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
What happened?
Now, with all that time in the booth with Nathaniel, do you have an idea about his tendencies or preferences as a play caller? Are you able to kind of view it live and say, oh, you know, are you mentally thinking about it then, or do you kind of review it in your head after the game and say, okay, well, on 3rd and 7, he kind of liked some of this that? Do you get a feel for him?
You do it right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, just to help him out and say, Coach, okay, they're playing this versus this coverage. You know, this is what we have that might be good. You know, versus just coverage and things like that, because I have to actually pay attention, because he asked me, you know, that what you see out there, you know, what they're giving you. And so, you know, it was like I was an extra eye in the booth. Mm-hmm. So you actually was paying attention. You know, it wasn't just sitting up there to enjoy the game and then root your teammates on.
Get your popcorn.
Yeah, no popcorn. I didn't see any popcorn. Hey, Thad, how are you with the read option? How do you feel about running the football, and how important of a component of that is in this Buffalo offense?
I mean, you know, it's just an extra added dimension, you know, to make the defense practice extra on something else. But I think it's great. I think it gives us the opportunity to to run the football a little more, even if I have to use my legs. But, I mean, whatever's called, you know, the quarterback touches the ball every play, so you have to be a playmaker and try to make it work. But I think the read option presents some type of trouble to the defenses, and, you know, you can keep them off balance with it, so, you know, it fits well in this offense.
You know, I was looking over your resume and the 2 years that you spent, the first 2 years of David Cutcliffe down at Duke, right, who was considered like a master quarterback developer. What did you learn from him as far as playing the position?
Everything. You know, those guys came in, and the first day, first couple of weeks, I thought we was going to implement his offense, but he sat there and taught us defenses and told us you can't play in his offense or the next level if you don't understand defense. So that was the biggest thing he taught us, and then everything else was smooth sailing after that.
Your thoughts on this Cincinnati team? I mean, have you had a chance to look at any video yet? Is that what you're doing with Nate upstairs?
Yeah, they're pretty good, you know, especially up front.
Yeah.
I actually have a good friend play for Cincinnati that played with me at Duke, Vinny Ray. So, and I played against him the last couple of years in Cleveland, so four times. So I saw those guys four times. And so it's a great bunch in there. You know, they're going to present some pressures and things like that we have to pick up. But, you know, as an offense, you just have to execute. You know, if you execute, you know, you can get the guys out of those pressures a little faster than, you know, you expect the whole game.
It's a funny game. You've been around the NFL for a few years, and as you said, you just learned this morning. Did you ever think you'd get it? I mean, you started the finale a year ago. Did you think you'd have another shot to start in the league?
Yeah, eventually. You know, you never know when it's going to come, so that's why they say you always have to be ready no matter what. So, you know, you have to take it serious, and I've taken it serious. You know, if I've prepared, like, as if I was to start a week in, a week out, even though I was in the booth helping out, you know, and, you know, hopefully I can just transition this week as being a starter.
Great. Good luck to you. Stay healthy, will you? We need some healthy quarterbacks around here.
I will.
Thanks, Thad. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Thad Lewis got a lot of work to do. We're going to let him go and get to meetings and practice a little bit later on this afternoon. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. I like that guy's approach, Chris, and I've liked it since the day when he came in here the last week of August. He's a pretty serious guy who takes this pretty seriously. He's not just here for a free practice squad ride.
Well, I mean, when you kind of bounce around a little, you take every opportunity you get pretty seriously. I just am encouraged that he's kind of been through this rapid ramp-up before, you know, going from practice squad into the starting lineup. I mean, that's a big jump to make. And just knowing that he's done it before, I think, is going to help him this week, even if it's in the smallest, most infinitesimal way. The biggest challenge, obviously, is pulling Cincinnati out of eight-man fronts, because you know with this quarterback change, Cincinnati's going to say, well, our focus is Spiller and Jackson. Let's load up the box and see if the Lewis kid can, you know, throw it down the field and beat us, stretch the field, hit us for a couple of big plays, and then we'll think about changing things.
And I think back to the 79-yard touchdown pass to Marcus Easley in the final preseason game. Different circumstances, you know, obviously twos and threes all over the field, but at least there's arm strength on display on that little piece of video. And you can, I've got to believe the Bengals are going to look at that video from the final preseason
game. No question, because there really isn't a whole lot more to go on other than the game that he played against Pittsburgh when he was in the Cleveland line.
Yeah. Let's go to Rick in Hamburg. Rick, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show with Chris Brown.
Guys, how are you? I enjoyed listening to that interview because I really don't know the kid that much. But I've got to disagree with you guys about the point you were making before he came on about the quarterbacks, and especially about Tool. You know, you guys are making points why they went with Lewis because he's more athletic, this and that. Why is Tool even still here then? To me, if you want to give this franchise the best opportunity to win, and if you've got question marks so much about Tool that you're promoting a practice squad player, wouldn't it, with EJ being out possibly 48 weeks, wouldn't it make more sense to bring in, and not that I'm a fan of his, don't get me wrong, like Pat White, to get him on the roster, so if Thaddeus does not work out in a week or two, you've got another alternative? Because if you're already sour on Tool, aren't we going to go through this in a week or two from now? Possibly if Thaddeus does not work out, you're then bringing in guys once again.
Here's the thing, Rick, and I don't know that they're sour on Tool, Chris, and you may agree or disagree with this. Tool is a developmental prospect. He's a developmental guy who got thrown into the game last Thursday night on a very short week of practice, and it didn't work out well for him. But I don't think they're totally tossing.
Blame him for last Thursday because I played the game a long time. I understand he didn't get a ton of reps, But if he's a developmental guy, you've got him with another week of practice this week. Wouldn't that be your guy then?
I think the development might take longer than a week. But, Chris, yeah. What do you think? I don't know.
You got to go with a guy that knows the offense. And after Thad Lewis, Jeff Toole's the only other guy that knows the offense. So that's why you don't cut him outright and just say forget it. And I think there are long-term plans for Jeff Toole, albeit probably on the practice squad even next year, perhaps. He might not be a roster player next year. They might put him on the practice squad next season.
Why shouldn't he be there then now? Why shouldn't he be on the practice squad?
Because he's the only other healthy quarterback right now that knows the offense. I mean, you can't bring another guy in. You're going to run into the same problem this week. If Thad Lewis gets hurt on Sunday, you're going to put Pat White in the game who knows 10 plays? I mean, you got to protect yourself with the greatest number of options, and the greatest number of options afforded to you is Jeff Toole, who knows the full playbook. Now, might it look any better than last Thursday night against Cleveland? It might not, but the fact remains that you hamstring yourself more by putting a player in the lineup that knows nothing about the offense as opposed to a guy that knows something about the offense.
Rick, thanks for your call. Let's go to Carl in Clarence. Carl, good evening, or good morning. You're on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Hi, Carl.
Hey. I'm getting a little irritated with all these backseat drivers that are second guy Bills. But, you know, they're doing the best they can. They're playing the hand they were dealt. And you got to stay with this team, or if you're not with them, you're against them. I guess that's what your show's all about, though. So, you know, everybody gets to vent their own opinion. I will say that, you know, Manuel's got to learn how to slide. He's got to learn how to fall. Can't they bring somebody in and teach him how to fall? Some guys just know how to do it. Flutie, look at his small stature. And that guy never got hurt. Other quarterbacks, they get hurt like every other play. I've been watching this guy go into the shoulder first move since game one. But I'm going to end with a little bit of a positive note. I'm kind of excited with this. You know, I'm looking at it like it's kind of like opening up a box of Cracker Jacks. We don't know what we're going to get. This could be good Sunday.
It could be. You're right about that. Thanks very much for your call, Carl. Let's go to Frank at Amherst. Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Just a couple of things. I like what I heard from Thad Lewis. He kind of sounds like a smaller version of Manuel. And I'm really excited for him. A couple of negatives about what's going on with the Bills. I kind of don't understand why they didn't have Thad Lewis as a backup already in there. That really ticked me off. And then the other thing is, I feel like the kick return is like a dead zone in our offense. I feel like you know, Leonard, he's a good ball catcher, but he has absolutely no ability to have a good return. And then also with Easley too, I feel like something that was a real positive last year is really a dud this year.
Well, two different things: kick return and punt return. They were using Jim Leonard because of the injury to Liotis. Liotis got in one, I think, in Cleveland.
Got in one in Cleveland.
Actually, Leonard had a 25-yard punt return against the Browns. But in a perfect world with a healthy Liotis, he'll be your punt return guy.
And that might happen as soon as this week.
Yeah.
And I talked to Liotis after the game Thursday night, and he basically said to me that I didn't want to open it up on punt return, tweak something, and then I'm lost to the defense.
Right.
You know, so you don't want to put a guy out there for three plays on special teams at the risk of not having him for 50 on defense. So it's risk-reward there, and they thought the best course of action was to leave him on defense, not worry about him bursting and possibly, you know, irritating the hamstring again. And Jim Leonard is a secure ball handler, and every once in a while he's going to get you an extra first down or two, like he did with the 25-yarder. And for Easley, Murph, I mean, you're at the mercy of the kicker's leg. And through the first 5 weeks, they've faced some of the best kickers in the league in terms of leg strength. And, you know, if it's 9 yards deep, he's not bringing it out. Those are the instructions he gets from Coach Crossman. And so he's following his instructions. And you can't really blame him for a lack of opportunity. If he had 20 returns over 5 games and he was had a 15-yard average, all right, I'm with you. But that just hasn't been the case. I think he's got, I mean, I'll look it up right now.
Not many.
I mean, what has he got here? Kickoff returns easily. He's got 3 the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, what? And as a team, they've got 4 in 5 games. So it's really been a matter of lack of opportunity, not a matter of lack of effectiveness.
On the and before we let you go, on the topic of special teams, your thoughts on the return of Brian Moorman?
I like it. I think what Coach Crossman wants on special teams in terms of punt coverage from his punter is hang time and accuracy. Now, is Brian Moorman the same guy he was during his Pro Bowl years of 05 and 06? No, he's not, and I don't think anybody would expect him to. But what he is still is a guy that can hang it up in the air for 40 yards, and he's a guy who can be precise with directional punting. That's what this punt unit needs more than anything right now, so I think he makes perfect sense.
Chris, thanks. Good to have you in here. Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com, the lead journalist. We're back with more, including a look at Kiko Alonso's game against the Browns from Pro Football Focus. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Mondays means daytime for the John Murphy Show, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Mondays, usually after Sunday games. We are back on the air 7 to 8 o'clock tonight, right before Monday Night Football coming up tonight with the Jets playing on Monday Night Football tonight. Jets and, help me out here, Russ.
Falcons.
Falcons tonight, yeah. That's coming up tonight, and so we'll go 7 to 8 tonight and then take you right up to the pregame show for the Jets and the Falcons at 8 o'clock. And so we're here for another half hour or so. We're going to talk more about the quarterbacks. The big news coming out of One Bills Drive, obviously, with the Bills naming Thad Lewis as their starter for Sunday's game against the Bengals. Want to take a look back, though, at the Bills' win or the Bills' loss at Cleveland last Thursday. And on the line with us is a gentleman we've had on the show before. He is an analyst for ProFootballFocus.com. He joins us all the way from Dublin, Ireland, Sam Monson. Sam, good to have you on the show with us. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Hey, well, the reason we wanted to talk to you was about you watched, obviously, the Thursday night game, the Bills and the Browns, and came away very impressed with Bills rookie linebacker Kiko Alonso. You write about it at ProFootballFocus.com, your analysis notebook, Thursday Night Football, Week 5. Talk about how you went into that game wanting to do an analysis of the Browns running game and kind of change gears during the course of the game, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the Browns basically set out and ran more or less the same set of rushing plays every time they ran the ball. They pulled backside linemen and moved them around to the front side and tried to lead their way through the hole, these kind of power and wham plays. And I started watching some of these plays, and the first kind of two or three that I watched, Kiko Alonso blew them up all on his own. Different ways of doing it, but you know, each one, he was the guy that destroyed this running play. So from that point, I started watching him a little more closely and decided to write a little more about why or how he was blowing up these plays. And then, of course, there were more plays, including, you know, leaping over the pile down at the goal line to make a stop.
Yeah, that's the play that got a lot of people's attention. Kiko, of course, going into that game was already the defensive player of the month of September, or defensive rookie of the month of September. Talk about that play down on the goal line, how he jumped over the pile. What did you see there, Sam?
I think that in all of these plays, the thing that stood out was how quickly he was reading and diagnosing what was coming. And I think the Browns probably helped him out by essentially tipping what they were doing with all this power and pulling linemen. As soon as he saw a guard pull, he knew exactly what was going on. So he would just shoot down either into the gap that was vacated or work his way across and basically meet the running back in the hole. For that play, it wasn't a pulling lineman thing, but it was the same kind of thing, and that he knew exactly what was coming before they ran the play. So he was just already running down towards the line of scrimmage as they snapped the ball, and he timed it perfectly, leapt over the pile and landed on the running back.
And on the wham plays, the power run plays, pretty much the same thing. He knew it was coming, I guess, huh?
I don't know whether he knew they were running the ball, but as soon as his key was basically to look at the offensive lineman. As soon as he saw a guard move, he knew they weren't passing the ball. You know, such was the way the Browns were basically tipping their hand with this type of blocking. So as soon as he saw a guard move, he knew that where the run was going and knew exactly what he had to do to stop it.
Hey, Sam, let me run this by you, because I've been impressed by Kiko since he showed up here back in the first week of May. And when I saw him at practice way back in May and June and even into training camp, the thing that jumped out first was his quickness. And there's a lot of that at play in your analysis. The guy can cover a lot of territory, and he's very quick. That's part of it, right? The physical gifts.
And I mean, some of these plays, he's coming from the backside of the play and meeting the running back in the hole, where he's covering significantly more ground than the running back has to cover just to get to that point of attack. So he's definitely extremely quick, in addition to being able to read the play quickly and get to the right place.
And the other thing about Kiko, and now that we've got five games of evidence, watching him play actual NFL games, and this might go to your analysis also, Sam, he clearly has done some homework going into these games. He anticipates well what the opposing offenses are going to do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he looks like a guy that's been doing this for a long time. He reads things quickly. He's in the right place at the right time. And I think that's a huge amount of being a linebacker at this level is understanding where you're supposed to be and just making it difficult for the opposition to beat you.
You write in your analysis that on Kiko's interceptions, and he's got a lot of attention for his interceptions through five games, but he said they featured a good dose of the ball being thrown right to him rather than any legitimately impressive feats in coverage. But the fact that the ball's thrown right to him, to me, indicates, partly anyway, that he knows where the ball might be going and he gets there, correct?
There's a bit of that. I mean, you know, Jarius Byrd, when he was a rookie, had an awful lot of interceptions, but an awful lot of those were not balls that he made a great play on. They were just passes that were basically airmailed straight to him. And, you know, there's a certain amount of being in the right place at the right time, but sometimes there's a lot of quarterbacks just making a bad read, making a bad throw, and pitching the ball to a defender. And I think Alonso at this stage has benefited a little bit from that. But at the end of the day, that tends to even itself out in the long term. You know, you can't sustain just being lucky for an extended period of time. And even though we haven't given the interceptions necessarily a great grade for Alonso, he has graded extremely positively in coverage overall. So over the last four games, he's firmly in the green for his coverage grade. So regardless of what the interceptions say, he's still making plays in coverage.
Sam, what are the grades or what did your analysis say about Kiko on the downside? Are there any negatives to his game or anything he needs to do better moving forward in his rookie year?
I mean, his coverage has definitely been better than his run defense so far, but the last two games have been, in fact, the last three games have been positive run defense grades. So, I mean, essentially, since a rocky start in the first week, he's been getting better each week and improving. So if he keeps doing that, there aren't many negatives to pick out.
Talking with Sam Monson, he's an analyst for ProFootballFocus.com, and you watched Kiko against the Browns. You obviously watched the entire game. Any overall thoughts about the Bills' performance from an analytics sense in that game against the Cleveland Browns, Sam?
It was an interesting game, but one where the form guide goes out the window when, you know, both starting quarterbacks go down, one from each side, and you end up essentially with both teams just making things up on the fly. I think it's always difficult to try and get any sort of concrete analysis when teams, I think, are basically making things up as they go to try and patch a game plan they didn't expect to have to deal with.
It's been an interesting day here at One Bills Drive, Sam, with Thad Lewis named as a starting quarterback. And there was talk, obviously, that the Bills might go elsewhere for a quarterback. And the fact that they were not able to sign the quarterback that went with Minnesota, you think that could mean the end of Christian Ponder, at least maybe the beginning of the end for Christian Ponder with Josh Freeman going there?
I don't see why you bring in Josh Freeman unless it's because you've decided that the Christian Ponder isn't going to be the guy anymore. And, you know, they're paying Freeman a fairly healthy amount of change for 12 games. So it seems that they're going to get him on the field at some point, whether it's to sort of audition for a contract next year or whether it's simply as a better option than the starting quarterback. I think Ponder, the writing is now on the wall for Ponder. And to be honest, I think that's been coming for a while. If anything, it's maybe a season too late for the Vikings, who are probably going to end up treading water this season and trying to find a quarterback in the offseason.
And if, in fact, the Buffalo Bills were interested in Freeman, Freeman probably took a look at where he had the best chance to become a starter with E.J. Manuel here and with maybe the clock running on Christian Ponder. I mean, that could be, and I would think is, actually the reason why Freeman chose to sign with the Minnesota Vikings, wouldn't you think?
I think the other team that was in the reckoning from the sounds of it was Oakland, and I think it's the same story there. And you know, with Terrell Pryor doing as well as he is, Freeman's chances to crack that starting lineup are minimal, whereas, you know, the Vikings have already come under pressure to bench Ponder for Matt Castle. So the door is firmly open in Minnesota. I think it has to be. You know, Freeman knows he's now got to show people something that they haven't already seen, that the phone wasn't ringing up off the hook for him, and he has to get out there for a new team and perform better and try and earn himself a new shot somewhere.
Sam, we thank you very much for coming on the air with us. We're big fans of Pro Football Focus here. We always encourage Bills fans to take a look. There's some great analysis, including your analysis notebook of the Bills-Browns from Week 5, and in particular, your analysis of Kiko Alonso. Sam, thanks very much for coming on the air with us.
Thanks for having me.
Sam Monson, you can see him on Twitter at PFF/Sam, ProFootballFocus.com analyst. You can check out his work at ProFootballFocus.com. Just a couple of his thoughts on Kiko Alonso and his impressive outing against the Cleveland Browns. Back to quarterback talk when we return, or whatever else is on your mind. A few minutes left here. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of minutes left in the morning edition, the Monday morning edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Another edition tonight, 7 o'clock until 8, before Monday Night Football. Our thanks to Sam Monson for joining us. Tell us about his impressions of Kiko Alonso. Kiko, by the way, is this week's Bills Player of the Week. I want to thank all the Bills fans who voted for the Bills Player of the Week, powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Bills. The votes have come in, and this week's winning player, Kiko Alonso, 51% name him the Blue Rock Player of the Week. Fred Jackson, 25%. C.J. Spiller, 13%. Mario Williams, 11%. Don't forget that you can vote the morning after every game, which would be next Monday, in order to be eligible to win exclusive Bills giveaways and prizes throughout the season, courtesy of Blue Rock Energy. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to learn more. Kiko Alonso, this week's Blue Rock Energy Bills Player of the Week. We have a winner also in our Bills Gating Fan of the Week. This one's sponsored by Salins. This week's prize pack winner is Michelle McNeese and her tailgate. When you're tailgating or watching the game this Sunday, remember to take photos of your Salins-inspired tailgate. Upload them at BuffaloBills.com and enter our weekly contest. The winners voted on by fans, announced every week on our Monday show. So get in the game for a chance to win the grand prize. Salins, official hot dog and deli meat of the Buffalo Bills. A couple of minutes left here. Let's squeeze in some phone calls. We'll go to Tim in Cheektowaga. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, John. I would make two quick points, and if I can, very quickly, just thank you and your station, your show. A few weeks back, we won tickets from your show for the Carolina game. They're really good seats. We really enjoyed our game. I want to thank you again for that.
You're welcome.
Also, point I want to make, I think that, you know, the Bills organization, the front office, has done a really good job, especially with this year's draft. But a glaring oversight, which is a surprising oversight, is the fact that we were not better prepared at the quarterback position. I know Cobb went down, but as soon as Cobb went down, we should have immediately tried to find some veteran. We probably pulled the gun a little too quick on Tavares Jackson. You know, we needed a veteran that would accept the role as mentor, tutor, backup to the rookie. And I think not having that, you know, we cost ourselves a really winnable game against the Cleveland Browns. And I just heard your show, and I just became aware that Thaddeus Lewis is our starter. He seems to have a much stronger arm, clearly have a little more experience than Jeff Toole. So I think that's good, but I just, you know, unfortunately, I wish our organization had better prepared for something that people typically do, which is to have a veteran backup. Mark Sanchez had Mark Brunell and had some of his most productive years during that time. But it's almost a rule of thumb, you agree or disagree, that veteran quarterbacks are usually always inserted to back up the rookie, to, again, mentor, tutor. And I hate the fact that the Bills had an oversight that could very well cost them. And hopefully I'm wrong.
All right, well, yeah, that was the plan, obviously, until August 24th when Kevin Cobb went out. And after he went out, I guess in hindsight, you could say too bad they didn't have a veteran to bet. They brought in Liner, you know, they looked around, couldn't find a better option. I guess you could second-guess him for that, but that clearly was the plan with Kevin Cobb in place to be that veteran backup until he went out fairly late in preseason, August 24th, third preseason game. Mike in Buffalo. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, I got two points I'd like to make. Well, one is a point about the quarterback situation, and the other one is a question. I like your input about the Jairus Byrd situation. So the first thing is Jeff Toole is the guy. He showed some real flashes during the preseason, granted, against second and third stringers. But he's got, it seems, as much potential as anybody else out there. So why not give him the opportunity to continue to develop? That Cleveland game was a real bad situation, just kind of throw him in. And I don't think we're really giving him a fair chance. And then the second thing is the Jairus Byrd situation. And I'd like your opinion on this, is that it seems that of all the good decisions management has made, especially with drafting and things like that, that they really dropped the ball on the Jairus Byrd situation and really kind of treating potentially the best free safety in the NFL with not a whole lot of respect. And looking down the road, I mean, with a guy like Jairus Byrd in the backfield, defensive backfield, Mario Williams on the front line, and, you know, it's early to say, Kiko Alonso, but if Kiko Alonso continues to play like he's playing, I mean, you got three potential Hall of Famers on your defense right now, and wouldn't you like to keep those guys there because they make the rest of the defense better? So do you think that management dropped the ball on Jairus Byrd?
All right, let me go to the first issue first. Jeff Toole, you know, a fair decision is doesn't ca- who cares if it's fair or not, basically. I think they looked at how Jeff Toole performed, obviously under dire circumstances in the game at Cleveland, and decided we need to be better than that. We owe it to the other 10 players on the field to be better than that offensively, and that's why I believe they're turning to Thad Lewis. So I think there's that. And they're not closing the book on Jeff Toole either. He is a developmental prospect thrown into the fire last Thursday night under very difficult circumstances. Did not go well for him, and I think they're looking at someplace else to go now with a guy with slightly more experience and slightly more exposure to this offense than most of the other options they had. Again, on Thad Lewis, the best out of an array of not real good options. On Byrd, I don't know if they dropped the ball. They franchise tagged him. There are several players playing this league this year under the franchise tag. Nobody is happy about it. Most of them elect to play and take their medicine and take their high salary. In Byrd's case, the eighth highest paid player in the NFL at his position, which is pretty good, I think. Most of them play that way. I think Byrd is the one, in my mind, who could have handled it better and could have played under the tag like many guys do. And he still could this year, actually. He still could, you know, maybe as soon as this week. So we'll see how that plays out. Thanks very much for your call, all of your calls today. Thanks to our guests, Chris Brown and Thad Lewis and Sam Monson, for joining us. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated for the last 80 years. See what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. We want to thank our engineer, Matthew Collar, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow night, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.